Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
Lifts it and he's got it in as well. And Danny Ings has done it again.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 165. Today, we will discuss Friday night's trip to Villa Park. Is the lack of goals and creativity becoming a major issue, or is this more of a knee-jerk reaction? There's concerns with tactics, with the personnel, and why, oh why, is Elianusi still starting over Stuart Armstrong? All this coming up, and we welcome back Tim Bazance to preview our game with Everton, which will be taking place on the 1st of October after the international break. With me, as always, to answer all these burning questions is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello. Yeah. Before we start, can I just say, like many of us, I was shocked by the sad news that came in last Thursday. It's quite literally the end of an era, and I'm sure I speak for all of our listeners in wishing Nathan Redmond the best of luck at his new club, Besiktas.
You're a twat.
I've just lost half of our listeners, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't come here for that. They come here for an escape, right? So, and we're giving them that escape. So,
no
yeah.
Sacred cows here.
Exactly.
To be honest, like, yeah, joking aside, yeah, I was quite shocked at old Liz passing away. Mm-hmm. Everything's sort of been moved to one side for a bit. It's a little bit surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel real. It's yeah, it kept on, you know, the first couple of days after it happened, it didn't feel right, and there was something not right. It was just an odd sensation, something that I've never experienced, obviously, Neither have you. But unless you were born before 1952, of course. But yeah, it is sad. It's very sad.
But yeah, other than that, I've been alright. I'm a bit hungover today, so sorry if I'm sounding worse for wear.
You don't sound too good, but you looked quite good. I saw you just a minute ago, actually, on camera, and I thought you looked quite fresh, Kevin. I thought you looked fresh as a daisy.
Oh, thanks. I haven't seen you yet, but how are you?
Yeah, there's a reason you haven't seen me. Yeah, it's one of those days this morning. I kind of just like rolled out of bed and it was quite late for me because, as I say, the game was on Friday, so I had a little bit more time to prepare for everything. So, yeah, it was a rare lay-in for me. So, yeah, I'm not...
that's good.
I've got bedhead still, so that's probably why you're not seeing me.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay, Kev, did you hear about the fight between the dentist and the manicurist?
No.
It was really, really brutal. They fought tooth and nail.
Hey.
They're getting worse. They are getting worse.
Oh.
Kevin, yeah, September is over for Saints. We played 2, lost 2, no goals scored. It's going to be an interesting goal of the month, won't it? And but the latest debacle, Aston Villa, it just rounds off another terrible week on the pitch. And yeah, well deserved, actually, that the match of the day last billing, because I'm always complaining about that we're on last, but it was definitely well deserved this week.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky the show showed anything at all, to be honest.
It was definitely low lights, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there were supposed to be 3 games, but with the passing of Her Majesty and, you know, the Brentford game being postponed, it went to 2 games and we lost them both 1-0. So we got no goals scored. So, our golden player of the month is going to be a real humdinger.
I think we're going to have to be inventive. This is the first time it's ever happened to us.
I think so. I think we're going to have to incorporate the B team and the women's team in this as well, because, yeah. So yeah, we'll do that. We'll get those votes out for the next pod, and it will be a B team or a Saints women. You up for that?
Let's do it. We can put some clips out. I think maybe the copyright issues aren't so big on the women's and the B team.
Yeah, let's go it. Let's go it. Jesus,
let's go it, mate.
Let's do it. Yeah. Anyway, if you appreciate what we do, and you feel, you know what, I want to buy these guys a coffee for all their hard work, then head over to buymeacoffee.com/innumber. You can also be an official member for exclusive offers. So yeah, go on there and check them out. Kevin, we've got some news to go through. Are you up for that?
Well, let's go it.
Let's go it.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, I just want to start off with some news that I missed for whatever reason last time. It's probably all the transfer shyster, I guess. But 16-year-old Tyler Dibling has returned to the club following his brief stint at Chelsea. He signed for them on the 28th of July in a deal worth £1.5 million. But it was reported that he failed to settle in West London. It's sad, really, because, I mean, it must be difficult for him at that age moving to a massive club like Chelsea. You know, he's got no friends there, and the way of life, it changes dramatically, doesn't it? But it was nice to see that both clubs worked together to make the move back happen. And they just, you know, they clubbed together and did what's best for him.
Yeah, that's great news. I mean, he must have been homesick. And I think, you know, he was a rising star in our team, and he's probably gone to Chelsea and is just... in a sea of talent there, it's probably difficult to make something for yourself. So, yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome definitely. I mean, I can't imagine me moving out at the age of 16 and starting something like that. It must have been eye-opening. But, but I mean, he feels comfortable back here. He says it's his second home. So, you know, it's let's do what we can to progress him here. And I'm glad that he's back, because it was – one of those ones that we thought, Christ, what could be if we let him go and he ends up being a star? But yeah, we're going to get the chance to develop him.
Yeah, and I think he's going to have much more chance here than at Chelsea. Yeah, I did mention in the build-up last ago, I guess, Nathan Redmond to Besiktas. Kind of expected him to go a bit earlier. And when the transfer window shut, just thought it was a bit strange that, you know, he wasn't involved in the first team at all, and for him not to go out would be very, very strange. But hopefully it's a move that works out for him.
Yeah, Yeah, 6 years, and it's a long time, isn't it? And it's
it is a
start for him. Kickstart his career again, and probably needs it, doesn't he? And he, as you mentioned, he's not getting any time recently. And yeah, we both anticipated the departure, but I don't know. Again, it's like a Romeu one. It's a tough one to take, and a Shane Long one, I guess, as well. You know, but with Redmond, I always felt he was unfairly treated sometimes. You know, he had so much potential. When he was on form, there was no doubt that he was one of the most important players, and, you know, one of the first players on the team sheet. And that year, a few years back, when he won Player of the Year for us, you know, he was incredible that year. And I just wish he could get back to that sort of form, and wish him all the best in Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, his inconsistency was definitely frustrating. You felt for the last couple of seasons, really, that he performed a lot better at another level.
Yeah, well, another one to watch for.
Yeah.
Dom Ballard was shortlisted for the Premier League to Player of the Month, but he lost out to Sonny Perkins of Leeds. That's fixed. Yeah, but I mean, it was great. It's good for him. Good nomination. He scored 4 goals in 4 games in August. So that's great. Continues to impress, and he did it again the other day against Leeds, actually. I think it's only a matter of time before he does get his chance in the first team again, and almost certainly against Sheffield Wednesday, right?
Yeah, our Carabao Cup third round tie is going to be against Sheffield Wednesday, to be played on Wednesday the 9th of November.
And also, that Newcastle game has been moved to Sunday the 6th of November and will be broadcast on Sky Sports. That's 2 o'clock kickoff.
So, yeah, Moussa Gineppo, he's signed a new deal to keep him at St Mary's until 2025.
Yeah. Were you shocked about that?
I mean, it's a bit of a surprise. I mean, it's quite early on in the season, isn't it, to be signing new deals?
Yeah. But no, it just, even at the start of the season, or you think to the end of last season when he was way down the pecking order and we thought his time's up.
Mm.
I know he's been playing at left back and he looks to have found a little niche for himself there. But I don't know. He got his chance in a more advanced position Friday night, didn't he? And we know how that worked. So I don't know. It's not a bad deal, I suppose, but it's whether we're going to get anything more out of him now. I don't think we are.
Signed a 4-year contract in 2019.
Yeah, so. No, it's just an extension, isn't it? Just something we haven't got to think about now, isn't it, I suppose, with him, unless someone wants to buy him for more than what we did, which is not going to happen now.
14 million quid.
Yeah. For what? For that goal against West Brom? Or was it Sheffield United? Sorry.
I think it was Sheffield United. The West Brom one was another one-hit wonder.
That was Buffao, wasn't it?
Buffao, yeah.
Yes, yeah. But there is some good news, though. Armel Belakotchap received his first senior Germany call-up. This is fucking huge, right? Because Germany are bloody, you know, powerhouses of international football. And the youngster like Belakotchap being called up to that team whilst playing for a team like Southampton, it's almost unheard of. I think that's brilliant. He must be on top of the world. Just great. I hope he gets some minutes against England, actually. I'm not sure he will, but, you know.
No, I don't think he'll get any minutes. But, I mean, just to be there training with the big boys.
Yeah, great. It is fantastic. Well done. Just goes to show what a great start he's had to the season for us. And it's good that these international managers are actually paying attention to players like that. Internationals, Kev, they're coming up next week. Who else has been called up?
International roundup. So, yeah, Belakotchap, he's in the Germany squad. They're playing Hungary and England, aren't they? Prowsey, another England call-up for him.
They are playing Italy on Friday the 23rd and Germany on Monday the 26th.
Gavin Bazunu.
Called up by Ireland, yeah.
Yeah, to play
Scotland on the 24th and Armenia on the 27th.
Brilliant.
Loanees then, Kev. Dan and Lundeloo, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but he's enjoying a good season and he scored in their 2-1 win over Cambridge. So he's doing all right. He's knocking on a bit there. It's good stuff for him. Vokin's played for Woking. Teller played for Burnley. Smallbone played for Stoke. I think the only ones that didn't play is Caleb Watts. Kazim Alegbi didn't come off the bench. Kegs Chowkey didn't. And I don't give a shit about Jan Bednarik anymore. So.
He didn't play against Saints.
No, of course he didn't. No, he wasn't allowed to play, was he? But yeah. Kev, some birthdays again this week. Saturday the 10th, it was Armando Broja's birthday. How old is Broja?
22.
He's 21. And Sunday the 18th, which is today. So we should say a very happy birthday to the legend that is Peter Shilton. How old is Peter Shilton?
66.
Oh, not a bad guess. He's 73.
Okay.
And yesterday, Saturday the 17th, it was our new signing we haven't actually seen yet. Duja Chaleta-Zar. How old is he?
25.
Yes. Yeah, the B team then played on Saturday against Leeds, and they lost 6-2. First loss of the season. But because Leeds didn't play the Premier League this week, and Jesse Marsh decided to give his first team squad a run out against the kids, he must be really proud. Yeah, Bamford, Ayling, Cooper, Junior Firpo, they all played, and Patrick Bamford got a hat trick, of course, and Don Ballard scored, as well as Sam Bellis. But there were consolations for us. But they were already 6-0 down, and they just carried on and scored two goals at the end. So, yeah. Not much you could do about it, but they're third in the table on 10 points, and everything's still looking rosy for them. And then next up, they play on Tuesday against Exeter City at St James's Park in the Papa John's Trophy. The women are playing right now at Crystal Palace as we speak, and I was listening to it before we went on and started recording, and we were 1-0 up. A fifth-minute goal from Lexi Lloyd-Smith on her first start. So, yeah, 1-1 at the break. But, yeah, it's good. Crystal Palace are a good team. So going there and scoring early, it's shut them up for a bit anyway. Under-18s played Crystal Palace yesterday at Crystal Palace training ground, and they lost 3-2. And they will play Fulham next up on Saturday, the 1st of October. Kevin, have you got anything else to add before we go and talk about the detritus, the Villa game?
I'd just to lighten up a hilarious tweet that I saw on the Daily Echo. Quote, Ward-Prowse says he and Pal Ings will want to smash each other.
Yeah,
I didn't see that on the pitch. So, yeah, maybe they got up to that off the pitch.
Anyway, yeah, coming off the high from that Chelsea win, then we couldn't build on it. With that drab loss at Wolves, and you know, I guess it was a kind of worse version of that Wolves game, wasn't it? And just a very difficult game to watch for both sets of fans, I imagine. Nothing to be happy about whatsoever. And you know, there's a real gloomy atmosphere around the city for a number of reasons at the moment, and this is why. And Jacob Ramsey with the only goal just before the break. Kevin, the starters. Well, again, there was cause for excitement for me anyway, because I'm still getting used to the new signings and wondering how many, if any, would slot in. Would Adozie get a start? Would Maitland-Niles come in? Would we see anything from Larios? And to be honest, it was rather underwhelming, wasn't it? Because we saw Elianusi was still in there. Moussa Djenepo, fresh from his new deal, getting a more advanced role, which was, I don't know, raised a few eyebrows. And the new signings on the bench, aside from Maitland-Niles, which Ralph has said there's a lot of work to do regarding him, which is, yeah, might be a bit of a worry. But Kev, firstly, that lineup, was your excitement level was peaked with the personnel, or you know, just figured we'd see what we got? And secondly, are you concerned with what Ralph said about Ainsley Maitland-Niles?
I mean, as for the lineup, it was about as inspiring as the entirety of the match.
You weren't too happy about it. I mean, I think you brought up on the Discord when you saw Walcott on the bench.
Walcott on the bench, yeah, that's really stretching things, isn't it? and the three number 10s in there is just a kind of stripe of disappointment, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, nothing against them individually, but Armstrong, Elianusi and Djenepo, it's not really going to strike fire into the it's not going to strike fear into the opposition or fire
either,
strike anything.
And the Maitland-Niles,
yeah, that's kind of surprising, isn't it? I mean, you'd think that Ralph would have sanctioned the signing and for him to not be ready to come in after coming in on loan from Arsenal.
But I mean, we saw him come on against Wolves, didn't we? And it wasn't anything that he did that was completely.
It was alright.
Oh, exactly. And now that it must be something that Ralph's seeing on the training field, that he doesn't know where his best position is for him, because he is that versatile option. But the fact that he said that there's a lot of work to do regarding him, it, I don't know, it's just a lot of red flags going up for me.
There was talk before about his, like, potentially his attitude or his flexibility. Is it going to be another Walcott sit on the bench for a few more years?
We need to get the best out of him, don't we? We need to use him now because he's only here for the rest of the season. And as I say, we don't know what we've got with him. I just want to see him. I want to see a lot more of him. I want to see a lot more of Larios, and I want to see a lot more of Adosie as well. We got to see Larios in his debut, of course, and we did get to see a little tiny sliver of Sam Adosie. But I'm going to put my hands up, Kev, and say that I fell asleep watching the game.
Yeah.
I actually fell asleep. I remember the 81st minute, and then I woke up in stoppage time. So I missed pretty much all the cameo with Adosie. So I have no idea how he got on. So that I apologise for. But yeah, it was just such a dull game that I couldn't take anything from it.
I mean, I paid a little bit more attention because I just felt bad after last time the Wolves game. I mean, I didn't fall asleep, but I might as well have. I was just staring into space for most of it.
Well, I will say that I was on a night shift the night before, and I changed my hours so I could watch this game. So I was going on no sleep as well. You got no sleep, and you got a performance like that to get through. I challenge anyone to stay awake for it because it just wasn't
true.
Getting me out of my seat. Let's say that it was doing the complete opposite. So let's go through the lowlights and try and take some positives from it. I mean, if we can, I guess Bella Kotchup earned his sixth consecutive start, thus earning that call up. That's a good thing. And you can't point a finger at Bella Kotchap or Salisu, really. Possibly the goal, but we'll come to that in a bit. But actually, no, we'll go to that now because there wasn't a lot that happened before that anyway. And as I said before, Jacob Ramsey scored after 41 minutes. It was another mess. So there was question marks for offside. And then Bazunu wasn't covering himself with glory.
Really?
From what I see, Ramsey was in an offside position when the original cross from Coutinho comes in. He's still in an offside position when Mings heads it at Bazunu, and then Salisu heads it back to Ramsey, and he lashes it in off the underside of the bar. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, pretty much. I wouldn't really blame Bazunu for the first half, but he made quite a good save.
No, it needed to go away. You can't parry it there. That's the danger area. You need to get that over the bar. I get that it was it was kind of point blank, wasn't it? And
very close range.
You had to make a split decision, yeah. But I still think a top quality goalkeeper does better than that.
Possibly. McCarthy would have saved that, obviously.
Are we going to do this again? Now that Mazzuni's having some mistakes, it's just going to be like, let's get McCarthy back in.
He's not a Premiership goalkeeper, is he?
Exactly, yeah, this is it. Yeah, and the offside, I mean, the VAR looked at it, but was the right decision made?
I don't know. I mean, I was expecting VAR to chalk it off once they flagged it up, because, Ramsey was in an offside position. But, yeah, twice. So much happens. Yeah. so much happens.
But, yeah, it was a goal. But the only other chance of note in that first half, well, there was a couple of them, but both of them were from Villa. I think Bailey had a shot that went wide. I think Bazunu had that covered anyway. And that cheeky little corner from Douglas Luiz.
Yeah,
he's kind of building a reputation over there, isn't he? And
he was going in.
Yeah, and Bazunu was great there. That's a great save. That's what he needed to do with the first one. But that was a great save. Just pushed it over the bar and, give him a chance to do that corner again.
Yeah, I mean, Coutinho was popping up and being a bit of a nuisance for most of that first half.
He always does against us, doesn't he? I've mentioned Bazunu, and I'll talk about him a little bit more. Because, I mean, there's some unpopular opinions circling social media, as always, and I quite like them, to be honest, because none of them are far away from my thoughts anyway. But it's just been saying that there's lots of players that aren't performing the way that we've become accustomed to. I think Ward-Prowse was one of them, and I have to agree, I don't think he started the season particularly well. Bazunu, I don't know, what do you really make of his start? Because at the start of the season, I said he hadn't really put a foot wrong, and he hadn't. But I've kind of like, I'm shifting on him a little bit. I'm not as high on him as I first hoped. And I know he's young, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't be starting at all, because I want to stick with him all the way. And he's getting these crucial Premier League games. But I don't know, I'm just trying to rein it in a little bit. Because there are some mistakes that are creeping in. I mean, the Wolves goal, that was a messy one, wasn't it? I'm not It's just every time I see it, I just think, what was he doing? But and this one, the Villa one, I just think that one was on him. And I don't, you know, it was obvious that Villa weren't going to score a ton in this game because they were just as poor as us. And in a tight game, you need your goalkeeper to step up. And I don't think he did on that goal. And I want to point out that I'm not trying to single him out. Yeah, I'm not trying to single him out as the reason that we lost this game, because he wasn't. I'm just bringing him up now because I want to know how you feel about him. And the 10 on the field need to take the responsibility for this game because they didn't do enough. And that was clear. But I've been looking at a lot of Bazunu's... Well, I've been looking at the save percentages in the league. And where do you think he's ranked in the Premier League goalkeepers this season in save percentage?
Slightly below average.
17th.
Wow.
Yeah, and those below him, right, are Bournemouth, which is expected because the amount of shots that they face. Leicester, who, of course, are rock bottom, and they're getting got humiliated by Spurs last night. And they let Schmeichel leave, so not surprising. But Man City are down there. But then you look at Edison, and he's only faced 12 shots on his goal, and he saved 7 of them. So he's not going to get a lot.
Wow.
But
it's a good gig, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And then Bazunu's right down there. You look at a team like Forest, and they face more than double the shots that we have, and yet they're higher than us. So I don't know.
We should have brought in Benderson.
Exactly. This is what we were saying at the start of the season. And yeah, it is a bit of a worry, but then I look at stats way too much. I'm still high on Bazunu, yes. I'm just saying that I'm not as high as I was.
I don't know. I think he's been average. Our expectations are maybe a little bit lower because we give him a lot of discount for being young and new.
But in those tight games like the Wolves and the Villa games, if it's just one mistake that's going to cost you getting 1 point, you know, to 3.
Mm.
And that was the difference yesterday, Friday, was that one goal that he could have done better with, in my opinion. Yeah, okay, I'm going to say it again, I'm not blaming him for the loss, because I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. The whole problem with the game and why we lost this game was because we weren't moving the ball quick enough, we weren't creative enough, and we didn't create anything. We didn't have the players on the right players on the field at the right time.
It's
That's
really
the reason.
Any energy at all.
Yeah, which is a surprise because we've had a bit of a break, and that's the reason. But Bazunu, for me, I don't know. Obviously he's young. I just want to see a little bit more of him and get a proper opinion on him. But you think I'm being over the top?
Well, I mean, statistics is quite jarring to me, looking at him in a new light. It'd be just so tragic if we put another young, promising goalkeeper from Man City through the meat grinder.
I don't want to do it. I don't. I'm totally on Bazunu's side. I'm with. I want to say that I want him to carry on playing for the rest of the season, mistakes included. Mm. He can make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes. I get it. But I just want to know where you stand with him. And you're fully behind him, or are you just like, nah, let's bring McCarthy back in?
Like with a lot of the young players, you know, the jury's really still out.
Sure.
Even on Bela Kotchap, you know, I mean, he's had a good run of games this season so far. Not in this game, I don't think. But it's a long season, and we saw what happened to Sliso at the end of last season.
Yeah, there's a lot of the whole squad suffers with inconsistency, doesn't it? So it's only fair that individuals are going to get that as well. Look at Elie Musa, he's the prime example.
I think the idea behind it is that we've got so many players, there's a lot of competition for places, and poor performances will be rewarded with a trip to the bench.
Mm.
Unless you're Gineppo or Lucy.
Yeah. They've got nudes on Ralph, I'm sure. Ralph doesn't actually hide his emotions, does he, on the sidelines? And you can see the bother in his eyes at this point. And, when they zoomed into him, and he just looked distraught. And we hadn't had a single shot on target deep into the second half. And it kind of brought back memories from when Mark Hughes was here, when we went for that game and didn't have one at all. It's that sort of form, isn't it? It's scary. I mean, one game you can just write it off. When you get two of these games in a row, it does start to nag a little bit.
Yeah, and that one shot on target was a fairly drab header from Sekou Mara, quarter an hour from the end.
Oh, I was trying to think of what our shot was. I couldn't do it because the only one I remembered deep into that second half was the Stuart Armstrong one from the corner, from the free kick rather.
Yeah, that was wise.
Yeah, yeah, the Mara one, that was it. Yeah, thanks for that, because I couldn't remember which one it was.
We didn't really have any chances in the game at all. I think, speaking of being last on match of the day, I thought they were going to get to the end of the highlights without showing Saints doing anything at all.
That was it.
But it was just a couple of Prowsey free kicks at the end, and that was it.
Yeah.
Depressing stuff.
Very depressing. And what was the reason for this result, Kev? Is it, well, not just the result, but the performance. And look, as I said, you know, no creativity again. And you start a game with Elianusi, who has periods of form where he goes missing. And then Gineppo getting an unexpected advance. If we start this game with a Stuart Armstrong and a Joe Rebo instead, do we see more chances created? Or is it as simple as that? Is it just a personnel issue?
And the problems are maybe not even that far forward. I mean, I don't really rate the midfield duo of Ward-Prowse and Diallo. I think Diallo has been a bit of a disappointment so far this season. Rather than Kep Romeo.
Yeah, I think so too. But, I mean, Lavia has been good. And
yeah, I'm missing him. He's injured,
so you think we've got the players there to do it? That we, you know, if we had the right players on, we could make some chances in these games. Because, I mean, Tim put an article out about the lack of goals that we're scoring, and we're missing a Danny Ings. We don't have that. And we've had some responses like we weren't creating the chances for the goal scorers. So it doesn't really matter how many Danny Ings you have in the side. If we don't create for these players, then we're not going to score the goals. But if they're on the bench, if we have the players on the field, do you have the faith in Che and Armstrong to be that goal scorer that Ings was for us?
Yeah, if they get the supply, I think we don't have a problem.
So this is just tactical. This is just on Ralph then.
I mean, it's just too defensive. I mean, Ralph, he did call it the worst game of the season so far, and I think he's spot on there. And he blamed Villa's aggressive defending. Well, yeah, you just need a more aggressive attacking, and then you're fine. We didn't have that.
And another question I've got to ask, Kev, is why is Elianusi still starting?
Don't know. Maybe they've got evidence of Danny Ings and James Ward-Prowse smashing each other or something.
Well, we saw in that Chelsea game, because I criticised Elianusi at the start of the season, saying I don't know why he's still playing, but he's kind of one of those players that nobody ever seems to look at or pick out. He's just one of those forgotten guys, and it's easy to see why. But in that Chelsea game, I made an effort of watching him and seeing what he was doing, and there was effort, the work rate was fantastic. But his bad performances are far outweighing his good at the moment, and that's not good enough. But just flat out, he's not good enough. And when Stuart Armstrong came on, he won that free kick straight away, and then he had that header at goal.
Yeah, that was something, you know.
Yeah, it was more right there. I mean, what's going on? Why is Ralph not playing Stuart Armstrong? It's not even a Stuart Armstrong thing. It's an Elianusi thing. Why does he keep playing him?
I think, you know, every player deserves a second chance. You know, he has a decent match and then two bad matches. You know?
It just goes back to this inconsistency thing, doesn't it? There's too many players are having inconsistent form, which will go down as the team being inconsistent. How can we go from beating Chelsea 2-1 to creating a lot, probably could have scored more in that game as well, to not even look like scoring in both Wolves and Villa? Something needs to change again. It's not
as if it's a position that we've not got huge competition for. Ralph changed out the entire attacking lineup, and we had four completely different players to end the game. But yeah, I still get the feeling that they could have played for another 90 minutes and still not scored nothing.
Yep, I agree. Gun to your head, Kevin, Everton game, who's the front four?
I'd keep Che in there, but I'd change out the number 10s.
All of them? You take out Adam Armstrong?
Yeah, stick it. Rebo, Dozy, Armstrong.
Stuart.
Yeah, go in front.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess then if we don't create anything from that, then we've got some issues, right? Because you can say that you've changed the personnel. These players that aren't creating anything are out. The players that we do think can create something are in. And if we still don't do anything against a team like Everton, then you know, we seriously need to be thinking about the Ralph out again, don't we? That he's not getting...
fucked.
Yeah, he's doing something wrong. One plus. We did get to see a debut from Larios. Very, very good on the ball, isn't he? I know he's a bit lightweight, he's a bit small, but he, I don't know, there's something exciting about this youngster. That it's kind of like a Tino thing, isn't it? They just want to move the ball. Stats, Kevin, do you have any stats?
Yes, I do. Do you really want them?
Yeah, I guess I do.
We had 7 shots to Aston Villa's 11. I challenge anybody to name them all. 1 shot on target to Aston Villa's 3.
That was Mara's one, wasn't it, on target? I got that one.
Possession? Isn't it? Possession, 47% for us.
Yeah, I guess a heat map in this game would just all be in the middle. Just nothing moving.
It's incredible, really. I mean, just that we had that much possession and yet offered absolutely nothing. Pass success of 74%.
I don't even want to ask an XG, but I feel like I need a laugh.
I've heard 2 different versions. 0.92 for Villa, 0.33 for us, or 0.82 for Villa and 0.28 for us.
0.28 is probably about right, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely fucking dreadful.
Absolutely, yeah. It was just an awful, awful game. Ralph's comments then, he said, congrats to Villa. They were the one team to score and we didn't have one. So if you want, it was a deserved win for them. The rest today, I think, was far away from Premier League level from both sides. But I only want to speak for us, not for them. They have been aggressive. They have tried to break us down. We haven't been good enough on the ball to create something seriously. This is a little bit similar to the Wolves game, where I must say we had, in the end, chances to score. Today, we didn't have chances. And this, for me, the very frustrating thing. It's so easy to break us down, and it shouldn't be. After the game, it's hard to say what it was. We will definitely speak to them and analyse it. It seemed to me that after the first 2 or 3 duels, we were a little bit anxious and didn't want to or were not brave enough to keep going. And when you have no power to play through the lines, then it's not enough for the Premier League.
Yeah, you could have just said we were shite.
Yeah. But that's it. Anyway, Kevin, summarise this. Where are we? I mean, is this the perfect time for an international break?
I mean, we've almost had an international break before this, haven't we?
I guess, yeah.
So, yeah, it's either going to be absolutely awful against Everton or it's going to be absolutely brilliant.
The toughest question of this one is the man of the match, Kev.
Yeah.
Have you got anyone?
I really want to bring out the protest vote again. So I'm going to give it to Shane Long.
Okay, yeah, good old Shane Long. He doesn't even play and he gets man of the match. I'm going to give it to Stuart Armstrong, Kev, seriously. Because
he was my actual protest vote. Yeah, just he was on the pitch for less than almost anybody else and he seemed to be the only player who actually offered anything on the pitch.
Yep, that's exactly it. Mine was kind of like a protest thing, just Stuart Armstrong, because it's Elianusi still playing and we're not getting anywhere with it, and Stuart Armstrong comes on and does that. So yeah, Stuart Armstrong. So start him, Ralph, if you're listening. Of course I know you are listening.
Natürlich. Just before we continue, right, we've had 2 matches, right, this month.
Mm-hmm.
We both agreed on Armstrong this week. Who was your man of the match last time against Wolves?
I think I went Bela Kotchap.
Ah, okay. I went with privacy. Oh, so right. Those are going to be our 3 players of the month next time.
Just the 3, yeah. Stuart Armstrong, who hasn't even played.
Practically not played.
Are we going to give Stuart Armstrong a player of the month and he hasn't even played? Oh,
yeah.
Goodness me. If that's not a protest, I don't know what is. Oh.
Well, that means that there's a 4th space available.
I'm going to give it to you, Kev.
Shane Long. I think you might even win it.
Let's do it, yeah. Anyway, let's head to Tim, shall we?
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, with the international break next week, Tim, we have a wee break before we get to Everton, but we will preview them anyway. But before we do that, how are you? How was your holiday?
I had a great time. Went to Iceland, enjoyed it, and really just had a good overall experience. Fun fact about Iceland, there's only about 300,000 people in the country. And then on top of that, there's usually between 100...
About 60% of them live in Reykjavik as well, isn't it?
That is correct, or they're the Reykjavik suburbs. But then on top of that, there's between 100 and 150,000 tourists in the country at any point. And of that, two-thirds of them are always on general Americans. So at any point in time, you have a 1/6 chance to any person on the street or wherever you go, a 1/6 chance that the person's going to be American in Iceland.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Pompey fans around the world. They just turn up everywhere.
Yeah. They're like cockroaches.
They are indeed. Anyway, Everton then, Tim. Please tell me it's going to be better than the last two games.
Well, we'll really see how they end up playing later today against West Ham. So that'll make a huge difference. To me, though, I think that if they're able to falter or they're able to not do so well against West Ham, it's only going to be in our favor. They're still trying to find their rhythm with their new signings that they have. They actually have a bunch of them to look at it. James Tarkowski, Dwight McNeil, Connor Cody, on loan from Wolves, Onana from Neil Maupay, and Idrissa Gueye.
Yeah, Idrissa Gueye, he's come back.
Yes, So from PSG. And then even James Gardner from Manchester United, who was potentially one of our targets this past offseason. So they have a lot. And then obviously they lost to Richarlison, and they've lost a couple other people that probably haven't made a huge or significant difference, but that Richarlison loss is obviously hitting them. So to see what's going on, they're not doing their best. Lampard isn't the best coach, but he's holding them in there. It'll be a tough season, and right now, though, they're actually have an injury with potential injury to Pickford. So they signed on a short-term deal Eldon Jakupovic. Thank you. To sign on for the team for a short-term deal, whether it's going to be through the end of January or however long, which is great. If Pickford's out, that'll give us an opportunity to...
Begovic is playing at the moment, and Jakupovic is on the bench. So.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to have some type of a gap or a situation where the goalie will allow us to get an easy one in.
I'm sure they'll be saying the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So... looking through all of that, Everton, they're like I said, they're not doing too hot, and they're leading. They want to have a good team because they're moving into a new home on the docks in 2 years. If you haven't seen that, they have broken ground on their new stadium. It actually looks really nice. So they'll eventually be living from the same area that they are in Liverpool with Liverpool FC and where Anfield's at to their new home in the docks. So. Taking a look, what are you looking for? Five-a-side team. Who would you have, Ray? Who would you have, Kev? If you had to pick, who would be on your five-a-side?
Oh God, I don't know. Is it wrong to want Solomon Rondon?
I want
a big-bodied person that can put the ball in the net, and especially in five-a-side. I want Solomon Rondon.
You're gonna have Pickford.
I'm gonna have Pickford. I am going to have Pickford. I'm still going to have James Ward-Prowse. Always, he's just my staple. I'll have Kyle Walker-Peters as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your goals coming from?
Dwight McNeil would be good. So Solomon Rondon's going to score my goals, Kev.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony Gordon. Why not Anthony Gordon? No, I still want Solomon Rondon. I'm sold.
Yeah, so we're looking at the synopsis was Pickford, KWP, Gay, JWP, and then the toughest one was who was going to be up top. There is the debate between Che Adams, Anthony Gordon, DCL, and Maupay. And DCL
No one wants Rondon. Ah.
No, so Calvert-Lewin was the leading vote getter there. So taking a look at that, what's the key battle for us going forward? It's going to be Cody and Tarkowski versus Che. With the 4-2-3-1 formation we've been running, Adams has literally just been big bodied up there and doing whatever he can. But with Connor Cody and James Tarkowski, they can be scrappy. So Adams is going to have his workout and cut out for him there. Wish him all the best, because those two are known for their scrappiness, and it'll be tough. What's our formation though going to look like? I don't think we're going to change very much. I think we won't change. I don't think we'll change at all, except for maybe Aribo coming in for Gineppo. But beyond that,
we have to change personnel. We can't have Elianusi again.
I do have Stu instead of Elianusi and Joe Aribo instead of Gineppo.
I take that. I still would. Yeah. We can't do this again. It's a bit of a habit with Elianusi, isn't it, that we need to shake and need to get that that creativity back to the team. Kev, what do you reckon? I mean, you've already said what you think.
If it was up to me, I'd go for a complete change.
Absolutely, that's what we need, isn't it? Incidentally, that game against Everton, I failed to mention, is on Saturday the 1st. It's 3 o'clock and it's at St Mary's. So there you go for that. Head-to-head, by the way, Saints have won 33, Everton have won 51, and there's been 23 draws between the two teams. Predictions then, who's first? It is Kevin. Kevin, you're first this week.
No, fucking hell. I kind of leaked it onto the Discord, didn't I? But
yeah, you did, and I called you a melt. And, and the Americans don't know what a melt is, apparently, or what a swift arf is. It's...
A melt is a sandwich. Is he a sandwich right now? Can he be eaten up in a delicious way?
Definitely not.
I feel like a sandwich. What's the other thing Americans, like, not maybe not that Americans don't know? What you can call somebody a melt, and what's the other thing that people call you? A weapon.
A weapon, that's, yeah.
You fucking weapon.
Oh, God, Tim.
Something that you have in America?
No, definitely not. You could learn a new language here. I mean, if we started on Cockney rhyme and slang, it would be, you just wouldn't have a clue. It would be like learning a new language. We should do that. Anyway, Kevin, prediction.
Okay, I'm going to stick with my prediction 1-1 because I can't decide whether it's going to be absolutely fucking dreadful or absolutely amazing.
Okay.
So I'm going to go in the middle.
Okay, and T Bizzle, you're next.
0-0.
Oh, God. I've got to go to this game. You guys, I'm going to go positive. I'm going to be the positive one. I think Saints win this 2-1. I can see another game like Chelsea. I can see him changing the personnel. And I can see 2-1 victory, 3 points. Everton are shit. So let's go for it.
Great. I hope you're right.
I was hoping for a little bit more enthusiasm after that, but there's just complete awkward silence.
I predicted 2-1 for the last two matches, and look what's happened.
I've also predicted draws for the last two, and look what's happened, Kev. So it makes no difference. We're always wrong.
Switch places.
Yeah, okay. The predictions then from the Discord, from the Villa game. Just two people predicted a Villa win, and that's Frederick Lazaro and Dan Rideout. They were just making moves on up the table. That was it. The rest remains the same, especially at the top. Colt Baker is the man to catch on 14, but Dan Fox and Scott Gorman are 2 points behind them. On 12. Super 6 then. Round 6 was won by Bradley Lloyd and Kevin Jewell with 14 points. Round 7 was won by Paul Beasley with 17 points. And round 8 was Bradley Lloyd, Stephen Allen and Russ Sayers on 14 points. The overall lead is now Paul Beasley and Kevin Jewell on 99 points. Kevin, fantasy football?
Yes. Okay, I got confused then. I thought, how am I 13th in a league of 10 people? But no, I'm okay. I'm second in the Podcasters League. Oliver Boast is still beating us. I'm quite proud of my haul this week. I've got 56 points.
I've got 70, Kev, so have that.
What? Did you have Son? Or
I got Son and Haaland, yeah.
And Haaland's okay.
But I captained Haaland and he got me 12 and Son was my vice-captain and he got me 19. So.
Fucking hell.
I got a clean sheet with Cancelo as well. So
I got three clean sheets.
Oh, yeah, Saliba, Arsenal, got me 12.
Oh, right. Big League, Lucy Hynette still top. David Phillips in second. And Aurelio 8, his team, Aston Villa. Yeah, they're third.
That's an original name he's used there.
These teams keep coming in, don't they?
Mm.
Where are you, gents? Ray's 12th.
Out of how many? 12, yeah.
That's buzz over 100.
Yeah, no, I'm doing all right this year. I am actually... Yeah, it's just luck. It will completely turn around. But you're sixth, aren't you, Kev? So
I am sixth, yeah. Super.
Where are you, Tim?
I am eighth. In the podcasters league right now,
but in that number podcast league, 84. It's a good year.
84.
Do you give a shout out to whoever's bottom? Tony Dart.
Has he even changed his team? Has he still got like Sofiane Boufal playing or something?
Well, he didn't do a wild card because he's three of his starters weren't playing. But Mitrovic will be automatically subbed in, and that's Odegaard can play it all as
minus
well.
Three. Minus three?
Yes. He got sent off, didn't he?
Oh, right, yeah.
Quite early
oh,
on.
No, I thought you meant the team total of minus three. I'm like, what's he doing?
I wonder what the record is for...
That must be really difficult to score minus points for your team. Wow. Just select a team of misfits, but yeah. Is that it for Fantasy Football Care?
Yes, that's that fun.
Okay, where am I? Are you up for this one? Remember, you get a free guess on your first clue, okay?
Kitchen.
Bedroom.
I haven't even said it yet. I meant the team anyway. I'm in the dining room, actually, so the joke's on you. Okay, clue one. This stadium is located 95 miles from St. Mary's. You got a free guess. Go for it.
That could be London. The Valley.
Kevin?
Are you in Luton? Is it Kenilworth Road, is it?
I am not. That's okay. I'm not either. So, but a good guess anyway. This town is located 30 miles from Bristol. It's a town.
Okay.
Next clue? Well, you're going to have a guess.
Oh, I'm really tempted.
Oh, he's going to have a guess for 4 points.
Are you in Swindon?
Is that your final guess?
Yes.
No, I am not in Swindon. You lose. The third clue was currently competing in League One. The fourth, located in the town of Nailsworth.
Forest Green Rovers?
It is, yeah. Forest Green Rovers. Yeah, nicknamed the Greens, Green Army. The club prides themselves on being the first vegan football club with a capacity of 5,147. I am...
Green Energy Stadium.
it's the new lawn, but they are actually moving to an eco park, which is going to be... Completely
carbon neutral.
Yes, completely, 100%. So yeah, good for them. So no points, Kev, which makes you a loser.
Right.
Anyway, next week we're off because of the international break, and as we mentioned, England play Italy on Friday the 23rd and Germany on Monday the 26th. But we'll be back on Sunday the 2nd of October for a chat about that Everton fixture, and we'll prepare for that away trip against Man City. That should be a fun one, shouldn't it? But until then, up the Saints.
Up
the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.